This is Kate Scott Allen of Otico.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hello and welcome to Herding Code. This episode is being recorded November 7th, 2014. Today we're talking to Rob Reynolds about Chocolaty, and we previously talked to you on episode 129 a while ago, talking about...
Yeah.
So that was 2012, and that was when Chocolaty first launched. Some people may not have heard the show. Can you explain what Chocolaty is?
Chocolaty is something that can silently go get applications and install them on your machine, upgrade your machine, and remove them from your machine. So it's, for those familiar on the Nix side, on Linux, it's like apt-get or yum or gentoo. Gentoo has.
Right. Or kind of like homebrew, especially with
Cask. Yeah, like homebrew.
Yep.
Brew Cask is probably the closest thing that you see. It does binary only, not a lot of go get the source and build it. Chocolaty doesn't start there.
Right.
Cause it's Windows and you don't need to.
Yeah. You know, I'm a huge fan, as you know. I've got a gist out there, and every time I rebuild a computer, I just run my script, and it's got Chocolaty installs of everything I need. You know, I mean, including stuff like Visual Studio and SQL Server and VLC and Windows Live Writer. And
yeah.
I mean, just everything I use. And so it's been really cool over the past few years how on Windows, I put everything in OneDrive and all my settings are synced with both Windows and Visual Studio.
Yeah.
And then the only thing that doesn't, you know, when I create a new, you know, VM or rebuild my computer, all that stuff's set up, but the one thing that doesn't come over is all my new programs. So I just run my Chocolaty script, and boom, it's all there. It's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, so Chocolaty's been around for a little over 3.5 years, and we've been running Chocolaty.org for just over 3 years. And we recently turned on package moderation, so that's pretty big news. What that is... we're moderating all the packages. So every time somebody submits something, we're actually looking at it, providing feedback if we need some things to change. And so we're really starting to build up the quality of, all of the packages that are out on Chocolaty.org, which is also known as our community feed.
So what's the kind of flow there? Different for a moderated package versus a non-moderated package?
All right. So, before that was turned on, what would happen is somebody would submit a package and it would be out there open for anybody to then look at. And then I would go in and some others, we would go in and we would review these packages after the fact and try to provide feedback to build quality. Well, everybody knows that model is, it only works so long until you have a possibility for something, you know, bad that could happen. Somebody could put out something malicious and there's nobody it's stopping that process before it's out there. With package moderation, you actually have people that you can trust, the moderators, that are actually looking at these things and determining the safety, determining the quality of the package, making sure that it actually, you know, does what it says it's going to do, looking at the instructions and saying, you know, does this install? Or, you know, if there's an executable in the package, reviewing that versus the actual from the project site to make sure that the checksums match so that, you know, what's in the package is what we expect. And it's not something bad, that's out there. Definitely building a lot more quality in. And so far, when somebody submits a package, it sits in a submitted status. People can't install it. And, the moderators and the package submitter gets an email. And then, so it sits in our moderation queue. We take a look at it. We usually review it within about 24 hours and we provide feedback. If it's good enough, we do an approval and they get an email that it was approved and then it's available for folks to install.
Okay.
Alternatively, you know, sometimes we immediately reject packages when the naming standards aren't quite there. So if somebody names their package and it's way off on naming,
yeah,
it's not close to what we would have expected the name to be, then we will reject it because when they fix that, it's going to be a new submission.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's in submission, they can continually submit the same version of the package. So that's really nice.
Yeah. And you know, that naming is a big deal. Like
the naming is a big deal.
Yeah. That's the one thing where I need to kind of look around sometimes and say like, okay, once I've got, like I was saying, I've got that script of all my things I've previously installed, but normally there's kind of the step, go out on the site and search around and find the best packet, you know, the because sometimes there's more than one, right? Does that get fixed with moderation as well?
It does. Okay. One of the things we're committed to doing is going back and reviewing all of the older packages and then trying to find things that don't really apply to the community feed. And what we're doing now, we're in a grace period until December, December 1st. And what we're doing is we find some packages that don't really fit the community feed. We're actually giving the package maintainers a notice saying, you know, this package, while it's probably great for you, it's not something that meets the standards of the community feed. And we're giving them an alternative of going out to MyGit and actually hosting it there. And so they'll have until December 1st. And then for other packages that just straight don't fit, we're giving them notice, and then as of December 1st, we're going to start removing packages.
So two important things that come up there. One is that point that it is all running on NuGet, right? So, I mean, anywhere you can host a NuGet package will work, right? Is that
true?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. It still builds on top of the NuGet framework. So anywhere you can put a NuGet package, you can put it on your machine and have a local repository. You could have your internal one at your company, which we highly recommend, always using an internal feed for packages, or up on MyGet. Yeah, there's lots of options.
Cool.
For where you could actually go host this. It does not have to just be on the community feed.
And then the other thing is those NuGet packages are generally, it's just an install script. So they're tiny little packages, and they just point to the official binary download usually, right?
Right. And a lot of reasons for that is some of the things that are out there are either A, too big to go inside of a NuGet package, or secondary, and really the most important thing is people just don't have the permission to distribute. Mm. And so not having the permission to distribute, what we suggest is, and most of our utility functions are all about going out to the official distribution point and downloading this particular piece of software. And then it's the exact same thing that a user would do. One of the other things that we've added is checksumming, so that inside of the actual package, you could say, you know, that thing that downloads, here's the checksum that it should have. And if there's a 64-bit version, here's the checksum that it should have. Mm. And so there's a little bit of verification. And so if it doesn't meet that, the package won't install. It'll stop on that. And with the new version of Chocolaty, so we're also rewriting Chocolaty at the same time. We've been working on that for a while. And we've rewritten almost all of it from the ground up, and it's not quite ready. It should come out this quarter. One thing that we'll be adding is more from the consumer perspective. So if I'm going to download a package, I want to install something. I know the checksum. I don't care what the package has in the checksum. I want to override that, and I want to say this is the checksum. So I get a little bit better security in that aspect. Also, another thing for security that's coming with the new Chocolaty is when you go and you download a package, you know, right now what happens is it just installs, right? And there's no point where it's like, I'm going to change the state of your machine. And so other package managers are out there like Apt or Yum. They'll stop and they'll say, hey, this is what I want to do. Do you wish to allow this? And so the new version will actually, when people are running it without saying, you know, -y like you would with Yum, and saying, you know, I want to install this, it's going to stop and go, here's a script that wants to run on your machine. Do you wish to allow this? And so you had the opportunity to actually say, well, no.
Right.
it allows you not to trust a package, but to look at what it thinks it wants to do and say, yeah, that's fine. And so.
Great. Okay, so we've already kind of started overlapping a bit. So currently there's Chocolaty that's out there. And then there's kind of updates to Chocolaty that are going on, and then there's the Kickstarter.
Yes.
So how do those fit together? Is the Kickstarter what makes the new version happen, or what's the Kickstarter for?
Chocolaty is getting very popular. It's gotten really popular over the last 2 years, but in April, and we'll have to come back around to this, Microsoft announced one yet, which is going onto Windows, which will include a Chocolaty provider. Which means it's going to use the official Chocolaty. So on Windows 10, you're going to have basically Chocolaty built in through OneGet. We're going to come back around to that. So let's talk about the Kickstarter. So what that means is Chocolaty, since the time that they've made the announcement, we have already more than doubled the amount of downloads.
Wow.
So we were sitting at almost like 3 or 4 million, and now we're sitting at almost 3 million, I believe, and now we're almost at 7 million. And what is that? 6 months ago?
Yeah,
back in April in the announcement. So yeah, we're seeing tremendous growth in popularity. And another thing that we're starting to see now is the actual people that make the software coming in and saying, "Hey, I'd like to take over my package." Mm. And so we're starting to get to that point, you know, on the thing where I think we're getting past early adopter phase, and we're actually starting to get into, we're starting to get closer to that general whatever it is. One of the things that we really need to do is really make our infrastructure much better and able to handle the scale at which we think we're going to need over the next 5 to 10 years. And to do that, we really need to have a self-sustaining model. Because right now, the cost of Chocly to run it every month, I pay less than $100, but it's getting closer. And mm-hmm. then App Harbor generously donates servers and everything. And if I was to pay for all that, in fact, we just increased some of it the other day, I think it would probably cost around $900. The last time I checked, it was $750, and then we just added, I think, another $200 or $300 worth of stuff that they're able to provide for free, which is fantastic. But we don't want to be in the place where, you know, if something ever happened, then we would just say, okay, so now we need to find Chocolatey a new home. We want to be in a place where we can say, okay, we are able to pay for what we need. So
okay.
So one of the things we've done is basically our Kickstarter is saying we need to invest in our infrastructure, and we need to start kickstarting some of our business model, which brings in – so Chocolatey, the FOSS version, is always going to be FOSS, always going to be free, mm-hmm. and then we're going to add some features on top of that. So we're going to provide extensions on top of that, which will bring in features that aren't necessarily free for us. So we want to be able to offer – like professional packages, and these could be packages where the so it's like Ghost Stock, when you go to download it, there's like a, they call them paywalls, so they want your email address, they want your information before they let you download it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can't really put stuff like that up on Chocolatey, but if we had a professional feed that was authenticated, then we already know who the user is that's coming to do that, and we could actually prompt the user and say, "Hey, GhostDoc here. This package wants to have your information. Do you wish to allow this? And if no, then they don't. It can't be installed. And if yes, what it's going to do for GhostDoc is they're actually going to get a real email address, right?
Right.
Versus, you know, because you can put anything when you go up onto these sites. You're just like, yeah, my name is Bob@yahoo.com.
Right.
This is actually providing a lot more quality of a better signal to noise ratio for them as well. Mm-hmm. So they're starting to get, you know, so there's definite buy-in for them to these companies to come in and actually offer some stuff through these professional only feeds. And on the other end of that as well, a couple other things we want to do is add even more stability. A lot of times when you go out and you download packages, sometimes some of those packages, like the official distribution point, has then since removed that download. So the package fails because there's nothing there. One of the things we want to do is to build a CDN that would be for the professional and business users only, because, you know, then they're hitting a private distribution point and they're able to then get to that same software that they wouldn't be able to get to if they were just on the free version. And that's definitely not free for us to provide
right.
at all.
Yeah, so if I'm at that business level, then I will have, when I install, somehow it's going to flip me over to that feed. How does that actually work? Is that I put in a key somewhere, or I – you know, how do I switch versions?
Oh, right on. So when you install the professional version, what we have is it's an extension model. And so there's places where it's just going to hook in and it's going to say, you know, when you go to download, I want you to go here and check first. And if it's there, I want you to pull from there.
Got it.
Okay. And when people push packages up, what we'll do, we have a package inspector there now. And that's how when you go to Chocolatey and you're looking at a package, you can actually see the contents of the package right on Chocolatey's page. We'll take and additionally look for these URLs, and then we'll be able to pull those things and get them over into the CDN at that time. So you're getting what they thought you should get at that time. And that's actually kind of especially helpful for things that when you go to download, you're always getting the latest version. So whatever version is there, not necessarily the version that the package is on.
Right. Okay.
Another thing that we're going to do as well is at runtime, so when you install these packages, we're actually going to do a virus check right then and there. So we are going to add a little bit more virus checking as these things are submitted. So we're actually looking at the bits that you're saying, these are the URLs. We're going to say, okay, we need to go check those against, I think it's VirusScan. I forget the name of it at the moment, but yeah. And then we'll check that to make sure.
VirusTotal, maybe?
VirusTotal. Thank you.
Okay.
And we'll make sure that that's okay. But when you install it, again, back to the, you know, this is what you thought you were getting. But that could have changed. So adding in a little bit more, you know, safety there where we're actually doing a check. We bring it down your machine and we're going to check it right then and make sure that it doesn't have a virus before we're going to allow it to install.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, some software related Kickstarters are geared towards, you know, like, give me some money so I can focus my time on building some stuff, right? And then, but it sounds like a lot of what you're talking about is these are like actual, like, physical costs. Like, these are costs for server infrastructure and for, you know, like that, like standing up additional support.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And some of the money is actually going to be used to buy a little bit more time, right? But, you know, I mean, at $40,000, I think I'd be with a family to say that that's going to make me full time. It's not.
Right.
Right now, it's going to be, you know, very conservative estimates between 2 and 4 years before this could be full time for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've talked to some friends who've gone full time and it really does. It takes about 2 to 4 years when you're looking at something.
Okay.
But, you know, having a full time curator of something like this, I think is hugely beneficial for the community. So, yeah, it's something that I've always had in the back of my mind. Like, what if this would be really, really awesome? And, you know, just being able to do that, then you can do so much more. I mean, if you go look at Octopus Deploy, when Octopus Deploy first came out before Paul Stovall went full time, and then you look at where it's at now.
A huge jump, right? It's a
huge difference.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. Sometimes when it's you're only doing this in your spare time. So, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned OneGit before. How does that fit in with Chocolaty? Are they competitive or?
Okay. So OneGit is the package manager aggregator. And so, it's an abstraction. You know, Microsoft sometimes looks out and goes, you know what? We really need an abstraction on top of all this. So they looked out and they said, there's all of these package managers out there and they all do pretty much the same thing. So you go and you use Ruby Gems, you use Python, you use, the Perl package manager, you know, all of these pretty much do the same thing. They install something, they can do updates on it, and then they can also uninstall it. And so having some interface that you can use across all of these things that really knows how to talk to all of them. And they just have a provider that is given to them. And that's what OneGit is. And it's not competition at all. And there's some confusion out there because some people think this is supposed to be Microsoft replacing Chocolaty and it's really not that. So.
Okay. So the idea actually, like as you were pointing out, this kind of makes it easier. So when I've got Windows 10, then I can just start installing stuff via OneGit and it'll automatically point to the Chocolaty feed and get it. So I don't have to that extra step of installing Chocolaty, which is pretty easy, right? But I mean, it takes that out.
But yeah, it's just like, you know, now, right from bootstrapping a Windows machine, I can just say, you know, go to PowerShell and say, you know, install package, you know, whatever package it is, minus provider, Chocolaty. And it says, okay, so Chocolaty is what you want to use. And then, you know, the first time it comes in, it's like, do you want to trust this feed? I mean, it starts out as an untrusted feed just because that's the way you want it. You don't want to trust anything except maybe the MSI provider by default.
Right. So,
then you decide whether you want to trust it or not, and then you move on from there. And so, yeah, I mean, being able to use Chocolaty right out of the box is pretty amazing. It's a huge, huge thing, you know, especially coming from Microsoft. They've really changed in a lot of ways and they're looking out there at the things that are out there instead of saying, you know, we never heard of that. We're just going to make our own.
Right.
And they found that doesn't really work. So it's really nice to see, this change in Microsoft. I mean, there's some stuff that, I'm seeing that Microsoft is doing all over the place all the time. And it's super amazing. The company that Microsoft was even like 2 years ago is not the company that Microsoft is today.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, as an employee, it makes me so happy. Like, you know, it's just so much more fun to work in a place where it's like the stuff that I see happening in the open source world It's instead of thinking like, oh, are we gonna like make a bad copy of this? And it's like, no, let's actually just jump in, you know, and make, you know, and you know how it is too, that
yeah.
a lot of the time where people won't trust something unless it's got kind of like the Microsoft stamp sometimes. And so to have one get like hooked up with Chocolaty installed on a fresh copy of Windows, like that's huge from like selling it to IT or,
yeah,
you know, whatever. So, wow. Yeah. Cool. Okay, so your involvement with OneGit is basically like you're just a provider. Like you don't need to do anything special from the Chocolaty point of view to make that happen.
Right. We just become a provider at that point. And so we continue to work on the official Chocolaty package manager, and we build the hooks into the provider. Garrett, the OneGit lead.
Mm-hmm.
They initially put out, like, in the preview, they had to put something together, so they built a provider, but it was really like a quick and dirty kind of thing. And so we're coming back in, and we're working on, you know, the official Chocolaty provider so that it could just be switched right over to that. So, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty exciting.
So there's another there's an FAQ. You've got some really good FAQs on your Kickstarter, and one of them says, are you worried that Microsoft is just going to fix the Windows Store to work with Win32 apps? How do you react to that? Because, I mean, part of what this is doing is, like, the Windows Store doesn't really make it easy for me to install everything I need, like, right, all my desktop apps.
Right. And the way I look at the Windows Store is the way I look at the App Store on OS X. It's just, you know, you have the App Store and then you have Homebrew. And, you know, there are certain things that you'll go get off of the Windows Store, and Microsoft only supports the sandboxed applications. I forget what they're calling it today. I'm sure it'll be different next week, but yeah.
Today, I believe it's Windows Store apps, but
the
yeah.
Windows Store apps, which were like the RT sandbox versions. You know, I was really hoping way back in the beginning that maybe they were going to be adding in the Win32 apps. And what I've always seen is that they will have some partners that will have information about the Win32 app, and then you can go, they have a link for you to go download it by hand off to the side. So it doesn't really look like that they're going into that direction. And if they were, they'd be going in that direction in newer versions of Windows anyway. So I'm really not too worried about it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a place for Chocolaty to play here. So yeah.
Cool.
I mean, and if they ever did, that'd be great. You know, on those newer versions of Windows, but even then, I mean, you still got click, click, click GUI, and some people want that alternative command line way of going about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing, too, and it's not obvious necessarily to someone just that's not familiar with it, but the same way that NuGet handles dependencies for me, which makes it really easy, you know, so like if I install, you know, a package that requires something else. So if I install, say, jQuery Validate, it requires jQuery. It's going to pull in jQuery as well, right? And so the same thing, I use some packages that have other, like a meta package or a package that has other dependencies, and it's going to pull all that stuff in. I mean, and that's, again, that's not something you'd expect from a store where one click, one app kind of thing.
Right. So. Right. And yeah, that's, some people have explained that that's kind of the difference between a store versus a package manager. A package manager will say, you know, I installed this and it got all my dependencies and installed them. It's tracking what everything that's installed, so that when I upgrade it or uninstall it, it can clean up everything. And in that sense, the cleaning up of everything, being able to clean up your entire systems, I don't necessarily say that Chocolaty would be a true package manager. And I preface that with yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, that's one of the directions we want to go. We want to be able to say, you know, you installed this and we tracked it. It went in all these different places. And so, like, you know, apt-get or yum, you could say, you know, I forget the command exactly, but you're able to actually see where all of the contents of the package are at on your system, so that when it does clean up, it can clean up all those.
Yeah.
Or if you ever needed to by hand, you could. So,
you know, it's interesting, too. Some people have taken this pretty far, like they've actually built out meta packages that include all their dev tools or all their, you know what I mean? So installing one package pulls in multiple programs there, which is kind of neat. So, all right. So from a Kickstarter point of view, what are the different kind of support levels?
Oh, right on. We have some consumer support levels, which we've got tremendous support on. We had Chocolate, which are all gone. So we were giving out a pro version. And we expect our pro version to clock in somewhere under $100 per year, which is about 2 cups of coffee a month. So it's, you know, it's always funny to talk about, you know, how much does this cost in terms of coffee? Cause everybody understands that. So,
right.
So it's like, we think that we can provide all, you know, from all of our research on what the pricing is going to cost us, we're pretty sure we can provide it for about, 2 cups of coffee a month. So, so about $8 a month. And then if you're getting in on the Kickstarter, you're getting a great value. So you're getting in at, we have a $35 level where you get a pro version. We have t-shirts. We have a t-shirt at a $25 level. We have a t-shirt at a $65 level that also comes with a pro. And then, tiering some of these, and it could get a little complicated when you go with that. So we have the t-shirt and then, different levels of when you actually get, a hold of the pro version. So a lot of these on here are 3 months early. We have a couple of beta access. The beta access ones start at $350 and they go up from there. And then we also have, some people really like hoodies. And so we decided we would offer a hoodie. So we have a really nice hoodie. It's got the chocolatey experience on it. In fact, I think our t-shirts will probably get switched to also say that we're offering.
Oh, nice.
And so they'll be basically, this will be the only place you can get them is here on the Kickstarter. So.
Ah, cool. And then I see for some of the really high level ones, you've got a workshop included as well.
Yeah. So if you come in at $999 or more, you can pick a workshop, and with that you get 2 pro licenses. You get beta access, which means we're going to be giving you the bits as we're working on them, so you can kind of provide more feedback on features, and so you're getting a little bit more you're getting input on design, so that you're able to actually influence the way we design some of the pro bits as well.
You know, I'm just thinking for how much IT shops, even at a relatively small company, but definitely at a big company, how much IT shops spend on provisioning software and managing software and what's put on desktops and all that. I mean, this is incredibly cheap.
this is incredibly cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the workshop is to get, a couple of people that come in, you know, one person at that level, right? You get to come in, you get to spend time with me. And we're actually going to look at, and we can tailor it, right? So, you know, what do you want to do with chocolatey? What do you want to do? You know, maybe a little bit more in the continuous deployment space and build space, because I've got definite background in that area. So, and we can look at some strategies for, you know, making chocolatey better in your organization, making chocolatey better in your personal life, if that's where you want to go with it.
Very cool.
And then we have chocolatey for business. And so far we've seen, it's, I guess it's really easy to pull the trigger when it's under 1,000 for businesses. So we've seen a startup jump on, a couple of startups have jumped on at that license level, and they're getting it. Let's see here. Yeah, they're getting it, you know, $200 under what it's expected to retail at year, for the year. And then we have, our small business, and we're offering that at 50% cheaper than you're going to get it anywhere else. Plus, I think this is perpetual for these businesses. So any business that gets involved in the Kickstarter, and you got less than 10 days to get in. November 17th is the last day.
Right.
You're going to get the price you get it for is the price you're going to be able to renew for every year. So you will not have to worry. You're locking in the price. You're not having to worry that, oh, the price is going up for everybody else. No, I'm getting it at the Kickstarter price.
Nice.
So that's a tremendous benefit. Yeah. So
excellent.
Offering it out there, we haven't really seen any businesses jump on, but, you know, we still got 10 days left. So I'm hopeful.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, there's definitely some things to support. But it struck me as we're talking about it. Like you said, there have been millions of downloads and people have been enjoying this for free. And as you pointed out, you're paying like $100 a month, and other people are kicking in a lot of money to support this.
Yeah.
It's a significant thing. So even, the rewards are great, but really this is to like support this ecosystem that you've been putting on your credit card, you know, up till yeah. now, right? So I definitely, you know, just, I'm a huge fan. I do recommend anyone that's listening to, you know, go in and chip in. Now, I was going to say chip in a few bucks, but I think you mentioned to me that you saw a lot of people our backing, but at the very lowest levels.
Oh, that's true? Fine.
Oh, okay.
You know, right. If you back at any level, every bit helps, man.
Okay.
Yeah, we're excited about the $5. We're super excited when we see the $7.50, but
yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, we got a number, we got to get to it. And for those who are not familiar with the Kickstarter, if you don't hit your goal, it doesn't fund and everybody gets their money back. You don't get anything. So that's why the hurry up, and try to get to that goal, because, and the reason we looked at it, and we said for 3 minutes, listen, we said that we're looking at 40,000. What we're looking at is being able to make those payments, you know, and put in those other features, for Chocolaty and be able to self-sustain for 10 months, without having to worry about, you know, going and trying to find money in other places.
Got it. Okay.
and then hoping to have a little extra for some unforeseen costs.
Right.
And it's really not that much. And then, of course, the Kickstarter, I mean, they got to take their 3-5%. And then, of course, Amazon Payments also has to take 3-5%. So that comes right off the top.
Yep. And then the goal, hopefully, by, you know, like once this is going and it's bigger and you've got this good pro model in place, then that's kind of self-sustaining after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
And I think we'll see more businesses come on that, because then it's a for sure thing where this is kind of the, you know, what if they don't get funded, you know?
Right, right.
And I went through all this work for a purchase order.
Got it. Okay. Wow. I mean, I think that's a pretty good summary. It's maybe good to keep it kind of simple and tight so that, you know, keep it focused on what we need people to do, which is get out there and support this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't like any of the rewards, that's fine. Just donate whatever you think you'd want to back at. I mean, you don't have to choose a reward. If you just want to give $50, then just give $50 and don't select anything.
Right.
And that's perfectly fine as well.
Okay. So, I mean, one simple way, I mean, obviously you can go out on Kickstarter and you can look for Chocolaty, but also Chocolaty.org is a pretty simple way to find it, right?
Yeah, Chocolaty.org has a link right at the top. Or if you do bit.ly at all, bit.ly/Chocolaty Kickstarter will bring you to the page. And the other thing we really need, not just the backing is great. We really need people to help us get the word out. You know, apparently I'm not that great at marketing. I thought I was, but yeah, I'm finding that I'm not super, super good at marketing. So we really need help getting the word out. If you got contacts in TechCrunch or any of the big, you know, technical publications, we would love to see some coverage there. And again, you know, by the time this comes out, less than 10 days. So definitely need to get it out quick. And right. Yeah.
Blog posts, retweeting Chocolaty on Twitter. I mean, all kinds of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you. I mean, I've backed already. I'm a huge fan. And thank you for all the work that you've put into this over the years. And, you know, let's get it backed.
Yeah. It'll be exciting.
All right.
Really
okay.
Excited.
All right. Well, that's it for this week on Herding Code. Thanks a bunch, Rob. And all the best of luck on this.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.